Europe.
Ukraine's Kursk offensive. Where next? After invading Russia, Ukraine must decide whether to dig in, pull back, or grab more as a bargaining chip.
Ukraine's lightning incursion into the Russian province of Kursk has exceeded the expectations of even those who planned it. On August 12th, General Oleksandr Siersky, Ukraine's commander-in-chief, claimed that his forces controlled roughly 1,000 square kilometres of Russian territory. Control may be an overstatement, but in 9 days the Ukrainians have seized almost as much territory as Russia has managed, at huge cost, to take from them since the start of the year, 1,175 square kilometres. In the next few days, the incursion will probably culminate as troops tire and supply lines become stretched. The question is whether Ukraine can translate short-term gains into lasting strategic advantage. The short-term gains are straightforward. Vladimir Putin has been embarrassed. On August 12th, he was shown on Russian state television castigating security and government officials. Ukrainian forces have taken control of the story after months of being on the back foot, notes Konrad Muzyka, a military analyst with Rohan Consulting, a firm that tracks the war. Ukraine has maintained tight security and surprised the enemy, much as General Siersky's offensive did in Kharkiv nearly 2 years ago. Ukraine believes it has shown that far from being frozen, the conflict's front line is fluid, potentially changing the calculus in any future negotiations. Mr. Muzyka cautions that Ukraine could yet suffer huge losses when Russia counterattacks. So far, it has not mustered the forces to do so. There is still little sign of Russian resistance on the ground. Ukraine has taken a large number of prisoners, mostly callow conscripts or men from the National Guard, an internal military force. The Ukrainians have faced little opposition from the pockets of civilians who have stayed behind. Tens of thousands have been evacuated, according to the governor of Kursk. Many have left of their own accord, angry at the chaotic response. Russia's failure to mount a rapid counterattack puzzles some Ukrainian officers. Rather than redeploying troops from the Donbass to Kursk, the Kremlin may be planning an asymmetrical response, such as a rocket barrage against the government quarter in Kyiv. So far, Mr. Putin faces no great pressure from public opinion at home. Russians are aware of the incursion, but the state-controlled media have reported on Russian forces' supposedly successful resistance and on the humanitarian situation. Apart from a few articles in relatively independent sources, news of the chaos has not reached most citizens. Even military bloggers, who sometimes criticise the army for its failures, saw the invasion mainly as an outrage that could unite Russians. One hoped it would wake up Muscovites sipping their raspberry frappes. Among Russians in the opposition or in exile, it has provoked mixed responses. Ilya Yashin, an opposition politician freed to the West in a prisoner exchange on August 2nd, blamed deaths and destruction in Kursk on Mr. Putin. Another opposition figure, Lev Schultzberg, who is in Russia, said anyone welcoming Ukrainian military successes should not consider themselves a Russian politician. What will Ukraine do next? The advance has moved so fast that it may be rethinking objectives. The initial goals were to boost morale and convince Western supporters that it deserves more military backing. Ukraine also wanted the Kremlin to divert troops from the front line, where Russia is making advances along an axis between the towns of Turetsk, Pokrovsk, and Chaziv Yar. Since the incursion began, Ukraine has lost control of part of the town of Khrodivka, 15 kilometres from Pokrovsk. Assuming the Russians deploy more capable forces to the area, the Ukrainians will have three options, says Mick Ryan, a retired Australian general. The maximalist approach would be to try to hold what it has seized, or even push further to draw in more Russian troops and provide a bargaining chip in future negotiations. But this is risky. it would be hard for Ukraine to maintain electronic warfare and air defence coverage across such a wide salient. Ukraine would have to divert resources from inside its own territory, and losses in Kursk would undermine its positive story. A second option would be to pull back to the border, preserving troops and equipment to reclaim Ukrainian territory next year. Ukraine would have shown that it can take the war to Russia and rebutted the narrative of Russia grinding out a victory. A third option would be to withdraw partially to a more defensible position nearer the border, which would require fewer troops and be better supported by artillery and logistics. It would also form a base for further attacks when opportunities arise. A source in Ukraine's general staff suggests this is the most likely option. Some logistics, engineering forces, fuel, field hospitals, food and repair bases have already been moved several kilometres inside the Russian border. Despite initial reports that Ukraine might try to seize the Kursk nuclear power plant or other sensitive sites, the response from its allies has been surprisingly favourable. The Biden administration, which has opposed Ukrainian drone strikes on Russian oil refineries and restricted the use of American missiles on Russian soil, said that the operation was an acceptable use of American weaponry. Germany, which usually worries about Russian escalation, has pointed to Ukraine's right of self-defense. There has been little sign of allies offering any rebuke to Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine's president. His challenge is now to translate the success of the past week into something enduring.